Welcome to The Mildly Interesting with Oliver Wilson, the official bedtime podcast of former insomniacs. Tomorrow is Saturday, November 20th, Peanut Butter Fudge Day. Peanut Butter Fudge Day is worthy of a great deal of enjoyment, honor, and attention. It is widely believed that fudge was first created in the 1800s when a batch of caramels didn't turn out quite right. Some people like it to be smooth and creamy, while others prefer that it's a bit flaky. The word fudge actually used to mean a cheat or a hoax, so it makes sense that this word would be used for something that didn't turn out like it was originally meant to be. We all love sweet treats, but have you ever wondered about the history of fudge? Well, I have. And I think you might just find it mildly interesting. Subscribe to The Mildly Interesting on Apple Podcast, Spotify, or wherever fine podcasts are available. We'll be right back. Fudge is a type of sugar candy that is made by mixing sugar, butter, and milk, heating it to the soft ball stage at 240 degrees Fahrenheit, 115 degrees Celsius, and then beating the mixture while it cools so that it acquires a smooth, creamy consistency. In texture, this crystalline candy falls in between fondant icing and hard caramels. Fruits, nuts, chocolate, caramel, candies, sweets, and other flavors are sometimes added either inside or on top. A recent trend has been to create novel flavors of fudge, giving vibrant visual appeal at the same time. Fudge is often bought as a gift from a gift shop in tourist areas and attractions. Fudge originated in the US during the late 19th century. Recipes were printed in many periodicals and advertisements during the 1880s. Its popularity was partly due to the decreasing cost of refined white sugar, and partly due to the ability to make it at home without special equipment. Its inexpensive, unrefined qualities made it popular among people looking for a candy alternative that fell in between expensive, fancy candies and the cheapest sweets. Fudge shops in tourist places such as Mackinac Island in Michigan began opening during the 1880s. In a letter written in 1921 by Emmeline Battersby Hartridge, she recounts the purchasing of a box of fudge for 40 cents a pound in 1886 in Baltimore, Maryland. Fudge making was popular at women's colleges. A student at Vassar College in Poughkeepsie, New York, claimed to have introduced it there in 1888 by selling her own 30 pounds, 14 kilograms, batch. The diary of another student mentions making fudges in 1892. An 1893 letter from another Vassar College student describes fudges as containing sugar, chocolate, milk, and butter. A recipe for fudges at Vassar was printed in The Sun in 1895. Despite describing the confections as Vassar chocolates, the recipe given comprises sugar, milk, butter, and vanilla extract. Wellesley College and Smith College have their own versions of a fudge recipe dating from the late 19th or early 20th century. One of the most important attributes of fudge is its texture. In forming a fondant, it is not easy to keep all vibrations and seed crystals from causing rapid crystallization into large crystals. Consequently, milk fat and corn syrup are often added. Corn syrup contains glucose, fructose, monosaccharides, and maltose, disaccharide. These sugars interact with sucrose molecules. They help prevent premature crystallization by inhibiting sucrose crystal contact. The fat also helps inhibit rapid crystallization. Controlling the crystallization of the supersaturated sugar solution is the key to making smooth fudge. Initiation of crystals before the desired time will result in fudge with fewer, larger sugar grains. The final texture would then be grainy, a quality that is normally indicative of low-quality fudge. The endpoint temperature separates hard caramel from fudge. The higher the peak temperature, the more sugar is dissolved and the more water is evaporated, resulting in a higher sugar-to-water ratio. Before the availability of cheap and accurate thermometers, cooks would use the ice water, or cold water, test to determine the saturation of the confection. Fudge is made at the soft ball stage, which varies by altitude and ambient humidity from 235 degrees Fahrenheit, 113 degrees Celsius, to 240 degrees Fahrenheit, 116 degrees Celsius. Butter is added, and then the fudge is cooled and beaten until it is thick and small sugar crystals have formed. The warm fudge is sometimes poured onto a marble slab to be cooled and shaped. Fudge making evolved a variety of flavors and additives. The favored flavors vary by place. In the US, chocolate is a default flavor with peanut butter and maple as alternatives. When it is made from brown sugar, it is called Panucci and is typically found in New England and the southern United States. Pralines include nuts but not usually chocolate. In the UK, rum and raisin, clotted cream, and salted caramel are popular. Tablet is a confection with similar ingredients but a distinct, grainy, brittle texture. It is often labeled as butter fudge dash, or fudge outside of Scotland. Hot fudge sauce in the United States and Canada is a chocolate product often used as a topping for ice cream in a heated form, particularly sundaes and parfaits. It may also occasionally be used as a topping for s'mores. The butter in typical fudge is replaced with heavy cream, resulting in a thick, pourable chocolate sauce while hot, becoming more viscous as the sauce cools. Commercial syrups, flavored with natural or artificial flavorings, are generally thinner and formulated to be usable at room temperature. One also encounters hot caramel or hot butterscotch, but these commercial formulations are not very similar to fudge or hot fudge sauce. When we return, the ice cream sundae. A sundae is an ice cream dessert of American origin that typically consists of one or more scoops of ice cream topped with sauce or syrup and in some cases other toppings such as sprinkles, whipped cream, marshmallows, peanuts, maraschino cherries, or other fruits, for example bananas and pineapple in a banana split. According to the Online Etymology Dictionary, the origin of the term sundae is obscure. Among the many stories about the invention of the sundae, a frequent theme is that the ice cream sundae was a variation of the popular ice cream soda. According to an account published by the Evanston Public Library, Illinois, the sale of soda was prohibited on Sundays in Illinois because they were considered too frilly. Other origin stories for the sundae focus on the novelty or inventiveness of the treat or the name of the originator, and make no mention of legal pressures. The ice cream sundae soon became the weekend semi-official soda fountain confection at the beginning of the 1900s and quickly gained popularity. The Ice Cream Trade Journal for 1909 listed, along with plain, or French sundae, such unique varieties as Robin Hood Sundae, Cocoa Caramel Sundae, Black Hawk Sundae, Angel Cake Sundae, Cherry Dip Sundae, Cinnamon Peak Sundae, Opera Sundae, Fleur d'Orange Sundae, Knickerbocker Sundae, Tallyho Sundae, Bismarck and George Washington Sundaes, to name a few. Various localities have claimed to be the birthplace of the ice cream sundae, including Plainfield, Illinois, New Orleans, Louisiana, Cleveland, Ohio, and New York City. According to What's Cooking America, the biggest rivalry, referred to as the Sundae War, to claim the invention of the ice cream sundae is between Two Rivers, Wisconsin, and Ithaca, New York. Two Rivers' claim is based on the story of George Hallauer asking Edward C. Berners, the owner of Berners Soda Fountain, to drizzle chocolate syrup over ice cream in 1881. Berners eventually did and wound up selling the treat for a nickel, originally only on Sundays, but later every day. According to this story, the spelling changed when a glass salesman ordered canoe-shaped dishes. When Berners died in 1939, the Chicago Tribune headlined, "His obituary: man who made first ice cream sundae is dead." Two Ithaca High School students, however, claim that Berners would have only been 16 or 17 in 1881, so it is therefore improbable that he would have owned an ice cream shop in that year. They also state that the obituary dates Berners' first sundae to 1899 rather than 1881. Residents of Two Rivers have contested the claims of other cities to the right to claim the title birthplace of the ice cream sundae. When Ithaca, New York, Mayor Carolyn K. Peterson proclaimed a day to celebrate her city as the birthplace of the sundae, she received postcards from Two Rivers citizens reiterating the town's claim. Buffalo's Stoddart Brothers Drug Store advertised serving up ice cream sodas garnished with fruit syrup and whipped cream in the pages of the Buffalo Evening News and the Buffalo Courier as early as 1889. Evanston was one of the first locations to pass a blue law against selling ice cream sodas in 1890. Some ingenious confectioners and drugstore operators, in Evanston, obeying the law, served ice cream with the syrup of your choice without the soda, on Sundays, thereby complying with the law. This sodaless soda was the Sundae soda. As sales of the dessert continued on Mondays, local Methodist leaders then objected to naming the dish after the Sabbath, so the spelling of the name was changed to the Sundae. Supporting Ithaca's claim to be the birthplace of the ice cream sundae, researchers at the History Center in Tompkins County, New York, provide an account of how the sundae came to be. On Sunday, April 3, 1892, in Ithaca, John M. Scott, a Unitarian church minister, and Chester Platt, co-owner of Platt and Colt Pharmacy, created the first historically documented sundae. Platt covered dishes of ice cream with cherry syrup and candied cherries on a whim. The men named the dish Cherry Sundae in honor of the day it was created. The oldest known written evidence of a sundae is Platt and Colt's newspaper ad for a cherry sundae placed in the Ithaca Daily Journal on April 5, 1892. By May 1892, the Platt and Colt soda fountain also served strawberry sundaes and later, chocolate sundaes. Platt and Colt's sundaes grew so popular that by 1894, Chester Platt attempted to trademark the term ice cream sundae. Plainfield, Illinois has also claimed to be the home of the very first ice cream sundae. A local belief is that a Plainfield druggist named Mr. Zontag created the dish after the urgings of patrons to serve something different. He named it the Zontag after himself, and since Zontag means Sunday in German, the name was translated to Sunday, and later was spelled Sunday. Charles Ontag established himself as a pharmacist after graduating from pharmacy school in 1890. He worked for several years under the employ of two local druggists, Dr. David W. Jump and F.R. Tobias. Zontag established his own pharmacy, as early as 1893 and no later than 1895, in a building constructed in the months following a December 1891 fire that devastated one side of the town's business district. His store advertised Zontag's famous soda and was, likely, the first soda fountain in the village of Plainfield. The original sundae consists of vanilla ice cream topped with a flavored sauce or syrup, whipped cream, and a maraschino cherry. Classic sundaes are typically named after flavored syrup employed in the recipe: cherry sundae, chocolate sundae, strawberry sundae, raspberry sundae, etc. The classic sundae is traditionally served in a tulip-shaped, footed glass vase. Due to the long association between the shape of the glass and the dessert, this style of serving dish is generally now known as a sundae glass. This dessert consists of two halves of a banana, sliced lengthwise. The classic banana split consists of strawberry ice cream topped with chocolate syrup, chocolate ice cream topped with crushed pineapple, and vanilla ice cream topped with strawberry syrup. Each scoop is individually garnished with whipped cream and a maraschino cherry. This is a sundae served in a tall glass filled with layers of ice cream or yogurt, gelatine, and flavorings such as syrups, whipped cream, granola, fresh fruit, and/or liqueurs. This ice cream sundae is served in a large tall glass, consisting of layers of ice cream, jelly, fruit, and cream, topped with syrup, nuts, whipped cream, and often a cherry. It is popular in the United Kingdom. Sliced or chopped fruit that has been sugared and let to sit for an hour or more to form a sweet syrup may be substituted for the flavored sauce or syrup of the classic sundae. Fresh fruit sundaes include named variations such as the strawberry, peach, raspberry, blueberry, blackberry, and mixed fruit sundaes. Fresh fruit sundaes are generally served during the summer months, and they are sometimes advertised as specialty offerings in agricultural areas where particular fruits are grown. Jarred fruit products are also available, which are made specifically for the preparation of ice cream sundaes, often sweetened and in a thickened flavored juice. Sundaes can also be topped with canned fruits. Heated sauce sundaes are those in which the flavored sauce or syrup is heated before being poured over the ice cream, creating appealing differences in temperature as well as texture. Hot fudge. The hot fudge sundae is a variation on the classic sundae and is often a creation of vanilla ice cream, sprinkles, hot chocolate sauce, hence the hot fudge, whipped cream, nuts, and a single bright red maraschino cherry on top. The invention of this particular variant has been credited to Clarence Clifton Brown, the owner of C.C. Brown's ice cream shop in Hollywood, California, in 1906. Brown made his own fudge in copper kettles that were originally brought to the city by covered wagon, using a secret recipe that the family guarded. The store continued to prepare the fudge in these same barrels until the store's closure in 1996. It is said to have taken him 2 months to perfect the complete sundae. Double fudge. The double fudge sundae is like a regular hot fudge sundae, except that it is twice as big, and is served in a glass banana split dish or boat. It is made from the same ingredients as a regular hot fudge sundae, but also includes extra fudge, as well as whipped cream, optional nuts or sprinkles, and a maraschino cherry on top. Caramel? This is a variation of the hot fudge sundae in which heated caramel sauce replaces the heated chocolate sauce. The other ingredients remain unchanged. Turple. The combination of vanilla ice cream, hot fudge, and hot caramel sauces, and toasted pecans is known as a turtle sundae. The name derives from turtle candy, which consists of pecans covered with caramel and then dipped in chocolate. Butterscotch. This is a variation of the hot fudge sundae in which butterscotch sauce replaces the heated chocolate sauce. The other ingredients remain unchanged. Other heated sauce varieties. Occasionally, other stiff textured sweet sauces replace the hot chocolate sauce of the classic hot fudge sundae. These novelty sundaes include the peanut butter sundae, the Nutella sundae, the hot maple syrup sundae, and others. This sundae features a scoop of vanilla ice cream with chocolate sauce and a scoop of chocolate ice cream with creamy white marshmallow sauce, topped with Spanish peanuts. The Tin Roof Sundae was created in 1916, at the Potter Drug Company, in Potter, Nebraska, owned by pharmacist James Earl Thayer. His son, Harold Dean Pinky Thayer, worked in the soda fountain as a teenager and is credited for inventing the ice cream treat. According to Dr. J. Thayer of Sydney, there are two stories of how the sundae got its name. The first is that it was inspired by the tin ceiling in the business, the other is that the stable across the street had a tin roof and that he named it after that. The Tin Roof Sundae can still be enjoyed in Potter, Nebraska, where the Potter Drug Company, now called the Potter Sundry, is still in operation. This is a rich sundae made with brownies, vanilla ice cream, chocolate syrup, peanuts, hot fudge, and whipped cream, often topped with a maraschino cherry. If a blondie replaces the brownie, then caramel sauce is used as a topping instead of chocolate sauce. This sundae consists of vanilla ice cream, crushed strawberry, crushed pineapple, whipped cream, and a cherry. It is named for the protagonist in the 1899 book David Harum, A Story of American Life. In 2019, McDonald's Portugal promoted a sundae for Halloween with advertising that dubbed it Sundae Bloody Sundae. This generated controversy on social networks in the British Irish territories due to the name's connotation with the Bloody Sundae massacre in 1972. McDonald's issued an apology and withdrew promotions with the name. We'll be right back with the history of condensed milk. Condensed milk is cow's milk from which water has been removed, roughly 60% of it. It is most often found with sugar added, in the form of sweetened condensed milk, SCM, to the extent that the terms condensed milk and sweetened condensed milk are often used interchangeably today. Sweetened condensed milk is a very thick, sweet product, which when canned can last for years without refrigeration if not opened. The product is used in numerous dessert dishes in many countries. A related product is evaporated milk, which has undergone a lengthier preservation process because it is not sweetened. Evaporated milk is known in some countries as unsweetened condensed milk. Both products have a similar amount of water removed. According to the writings of Marco Polo, in the 13th century, the Tatars were able to condense milk. Marco Polo reported that 10 pounds, 4.5 kilograms, of milk paste was carried by each man, who would subsequently mix the product with water. However, this probably refers to the soft tartar curd, katik, which can be made into a drink, iron, by diluting it, and therefore refers to fermented, not fresh, milk concentrate. Nicolas Appert condensed milk in France in 1820, and Gale Borden Jr., in the United States in 1853, in reaction to difficulties in storing milk for more than a few hours. Before this development, milk could be kept fresh for only a short while and was available only near a lactating cow. While returning from a trip to England in 1851, Borden was devastated by the deaths of several children, apparently from poor milk obtained from shipboard cows. With less than a year of schooling and following a series of failures, both of his own and of others, Borden was inspired by the vacuum pan he had seen being used by shakers to condense fruit juice and managed to reduce milk without scorching or curdling it. Even then, his first two factories failed, and only the third, built with new partner Jeremiah Milbank in Wassaic, New York, produced a usable milk derivative that was long-lasting and needed no refrigeration. Probably of equal importance for the future of milk production were Borden's requirements, the Dairyman's Ten Commandments. For farmers who wanted to sell him raw milk, they were required to wash the cow's udders before milking, keep barns swept clean, and scald and dry their strainers morning and night. By 1858, Borden's milk, sold as Eagle Brand, had gained a reputation for purity, durability, and economy. In 1864, Gale Borden's New York Condensed Milk Company constructed the New York Milk Condensery in Brewster, New York. This was the largest and most advanced milk factory of its day and was Borden's first commercially successful plant. More than 200 dairy farmers supplied 20,000 gallons, 76,000 liters, of milk daily to the Brewster plant as demand increased, driven by the American Civil War. The U.S. government ordered huge amounts of condensed milk as a field ration for Union soldiers during the war. This was an extraordinary field ration for the 19th century. A typical 10-ounce, 300-milliliter, can contain 1,300 calories, 5,440 kilojoules, 1 ounce, 28 grams, each of protein and fat, and more than 7 ounces, 200 grams, of carbohydrate. Soldiers returning home from the war soon spread the word, and by the late 1860s, condensed milk was a major product. The first Canadian condensery was built at Truro, Nova Scotia, in 1871. In 1899, E. B. Stewart opened the first Pacific Coast Condensed Milk Company, later known as the Carnation Milk Products Company, plant in Kent, Washington. The condensed milk market developed into a bubble, with too many manufacturers chasing too little demand. In 1911, Nestlé constructed the world's largest condensed milk plant in Dennington, Victoria, Australia. By 1912, high stocks of condensed milk led to a drop in price, and many condenseries went out of business. In 1914, Otto F. Hunziker, head of Purdue University's dairy department, self-published Condensed Milk and Milk Powder, prepared for the use of milk condenseries, dairy students, and pure food departments. This text, along with the additional work of Hunziker and others involved with the American Dairy Science Association, standardized and improved condensery operations in the United States and internationally. Hunziker's book was republished in a seventh edition in October 2007 by Cartwright Press. The First World War regenerated interest in, and the market for, condensed milk, primarily due to its storage and transportation benefits. In the US, the higher price for raw milk paid by condenseries created significant problems for the cheese industry. Raw milk is clarified and standardized to the desired fat-to-solid not fat, SNF, ratio and is then heated to 85 to 90 degrees Celsius, 185 to 194 degrees Fahrenheit, for several seconds. This heating process destroys some microorganisms, decreases fat separation, and inhibits oxidation. Some water is evaporated from the milk and sugar is added until a 9:11, nearly half, ratio of sugar to evaporated milk is reached. The sugar extends the shelf life of sweetened condensed milk. Sucrose increases the liquid's osmotic pressure, which prevents microorganism growth. The sweetened evaporated milk is cooled and lactose crystallization is induced. Condensed milk is used in recipes for the Brazilian candy Brigadeiro, where condensed milk is the main ingredient, key lime pie, caramel candies, and other desserts. Condensed milk and sweetened condensed milk are also sometimes used in combination with clotted cream to make fudge in certain countries such as the United Kingdom. In parts of Asia and Europe, sweetened condensed milk is the preferred milk to be added to coffee or tea. Many countries in Southeast Asia, such as Vietnam and Cambodia, use condensed milk to flavor their hot or iced coffee. In Malaysia and Singapore, teh tarik is made from tea mixed with condensed milk, and condensed milk is an integral element in Hong Kong tea culture. In the Canary Islands, it is served as the bottom stripe in a glass of the local Café Cortado and, in Valencia, it is served as a café bonbon. Borden's Eagle brand sweetened condensed milk has noted that ice cream could be made quite simply at home with their product, cream, and various simple flavorings, being ready to serve after as little as 4 hours. In New Orleans, sweetened condensed milk is commonly used as a topping on chocolate or similarly cream-flavored snowballs. In Scotland, it is mixed with sugar and butter then boiled to form a popular sweet candy called tablet or Swiss milk tablet. This recipe is very similar to another version of the Brazilian candy Brigadeiro called Branquinho. In some parts of the southern United States, condensed milk is a key ingredient in lemon icebox pie, a sort of cream pie. In the Philippines, condensed milk is mixed with some evaporated milk and eggs, spooned into shallow metal containers over liquid caramelized sugar, and then steamed to make a stiffer and more filling version of creme caramel known as leche flan, also common in Brazil under the name pudim de leche. In Mexico, sweetened condensed milk is one of the main ingredients of the cold cake dessert. The leading brand is La Lechera, the local version of Swiss Milchmädchen or La Lechera by Nestlé, combined with evaporated milk, Marie biscuits, lemon juice, and tropical fruit. In Brazil, this recipe is also done by exchanging fruit for puddings, most commonly vanilla and chocolate, known as pave or torta de bolacha. It is also used to make homemade dulce de leche by baking it in an oven. In Brazil, this is done by baking the unopened can in a bain-marie, the result being dulce de leche. In Britain and Ireland, the contents of a boiled can are used as the layer between the biscuit base and the banana and cream level in banoffee. There is also a pastry-based tart that is popular in the county of Kent, England called Gypsy Tart. The pastry case is then filled with a mixture of brown sugar and either condensed milk, evaporated milk, or a mixture of the two before being baked. In Latin American and Central American countries, condensed milk, along with evaporated milk and whole milk or canned cream, is used as a key ingredient in the tres leches cake dessert. In Soviet culture, it was once common to boil a can of condensed milk in water for about 3 hours. The resulting product is a sweet semi-liquid substance that can be used as a cake icing or put between layers. It is essentially the same as dulce de leche. A similar product is called Kajmak in Central Asia, although the original Kajmak is a product similar to clotted cream. In Russia it's called Varyonayaskyonka, translates as boiled condensed milk. The Soviet tradition and Kajmak are also known in Poland. Condensed milk can be made from evaporated milk by mixing 1 volume measure of evaporated milk with 1¼ volume measures of sugar in a saucepan, then heating and stirring the mixture until the sugar is completely dissolved, then cooling. It can also be made by simmering regular milk and sugar until it is reduced by 60%.